Let's get this party started.
No, I don't get the reference.
I think I'm going to take out my my fisty glue men and burn him in effigy, because I'm so angry.
You should. Even if we were to gnash our teeth and shake our fists impotently at the air and wah-ha-ha-ha and tear our clothes.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to the 38th episode of Dead Zone the Podcast for late July 2015. In this episode, we discuss the cards of Dead Zone, have a review for some amazing mats, and continue looking at the Warpath Alpha rules. As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or you can go to youtube.com/c/deadzonethepodcast for the video version of this show. And now on to the episode.
Welcome to episode 38 of Dead Zone, the podcast for late July 2015.
I'm Jack.
I'm Rob. We're getting punchy.
We're starting off strong. This is I feel we're on the right side of the bed, the right foot forward.
All those metaphors.
Your face is saying no.
And we'll get right into the news. Skip Jack's metaphors. So, the news. There is some concept sketches from the Infestation Kickstarter popped up. And the first one's just of the Plague Beast, the big beastie Jack doesn't want to paint, which I'll paint because he's crazy looking. But there's an alternate concept. It looks like it's a Sorak. Because look at the head. He's got the two horns. He's got different hands. And it's like a Sorak version of the Plague Beast.
Because it's a sketch, it's really hard to see what's going on with the back legs. The back legs look like a pile.
I think they're tentacles. Yeah.
Tentacles?
Yeah. They're not even legs.
The head, I wonder if the Plague Beast is just a variation of different races that are...
Not just... It's a Sorak head with like a... Nameless legs.
Legs and a...
Teraton hand
or something. Yeah.
That is a teraton hand with two spikes. You're right.
Yeah, like to me, that's what it looks like. Yeah. Like a genetic...
Frankenstein.
A genetic soup of
beast. We don't know if they're producing this model or if it's just a sketch, but he's pretty cool. Hopefully they... maybe for the... if they do a second survey or something, or they just release it, because that'd be awesome.
Or they're just adding it to the coloring book that they're going to release.
It'd be fun to try to color this. All the pustules.
Oh, pustules.
Colored pustules. They also released the concepts. I never remember what they call these when they just do a one-off model for them. Like the sculpt. But I think it's a 3D sculpt of it. Of the Night Terrors for the Vermine. These are like the... almost like the tank kind of guys for them.
Because they've got what looks like a weapon strapped to their back. And
this one's the weapon one, and this one's like the close combat with just a bunch of blades.
Big scythes hanging off. And... They're nasty looking.
And they're huge, because that's the other one we saw that was huge from last week, or a couple weeks ago.
The Shredder.
The Shredder, yep. And these things are just the size of a Shredder, just bent over. So anybody who thinks the Vermine are going to be little guys, like little rat guys, no, every single one of these creatures is huge.
But, and I think they've really upped the sculpts. Like,
they are cool, yeah.
You compare the, say, the Plague...
Like the first gen,
type, like they're not.
They're getting much better at producing really nice looking models.
Those are gorgeous.
These Vermine, I say it every time, but at the beginning I'm like, yeah, Ratman, not interested. The more I see these guys, the cooler they are. They are really winning me over.
I'm kind of wishing I had dropped some coin, actually.
Well, there'll always be more Vermine. It's the beauty about this, just because you didn't get it on Kickstarter, you can always get it in later. And that's it for the news, really, because we just, once again, they're still focusing on that Kings of War. Oh, Kings of War. You'd think there was another game company that had a game that was just terrible, and then they just millions of people shifted to a different Kings of War, but that'd be ridiculous.
So you're saying that maybe they're just striking while the iron's hot, and Mantic is on the cusp of winning over some disenfranchised...
Yeah, but this is all from the Kickstarter, which was a year ago. So I think it's just luck, but it just... Everything's coming up, Mantic.
Fortuitous. The planets have aligned, and Mantic, your astrology sign is looking... I don't know. I don't believe in any of that.
But there is a large influx of X Warhammer players coming into the Mantic world. We'll see if we can weather that storm.
Welcome to the fold, I say. Oh, with open arms, I welcome thee.
Well, I doubt many of them are coming to play Dead Zone, because they still have 40k over there to play. It's just the fantasy stuff that they're like, abandon ship!
Yeah, well, there's only so many insults someone can withstand while you're forking out a vast amount of money.
Yeah, it's sad. It's smart. GW's like, nobody can deny that GW is smart. That's all I'm saying. But we're getting into anything. Anyways, okay. Let's take a break here for a Mantic ad.
You have been listening to the Dead Zone podcast with your hosts, Jack Fike and Rob Harper. The Dead Zone podcast is dedicated to Dead Zone, the tabletop miniature game by Mantic Games. Visit them at manticgames.com.
Hey, this is Community Pat, and you are listening to Dead Zone, the podcast.
And we're back. So that was a Mantic ad. How'd you feel about that ad?
I'm indifferent to that ad. I don't feel either strongly in any direction.
I think I'm going to take out my fisty glue man and burn him in effigy, because I'm so angry.
You should.
Anyways. rules discussion. We're on to our another rules discussion here. And we've been building up to this one, really, because it's the one we're going to talk about this time is the removal of cards. And which cards will we remove and why? And we've touched on it all the time, but let's get into depth here. And we'll discuss it.
The removal of cards. Yes, we have already discussed all these things in other discussions we've
touched
had.
Touched on it, yeah.
Now, this is when we really... And I'm hoping with this one that we actually agree, because we've had some...
I almost guarantee we're not going to agree, because there's one set of cards I want that you don't want.
We're pretty divisive.
We are. We thought we'd agree, but we don't. Anyway, so the three sets of cards, really, that there are the stat cards, mission cards, battle cards. So, obviously, stat cards, they're the ones that almost guaranteed are going to be gone, or at least limited, really. Like, the starter set will still have them, but I don't think they're going to be.
Yes.
New units will not be coming with stat cards. I think they'll just have stat lines. And
that's a foregone conclusion. We heard that right from Ronnie's mouth.
Unless something really strange happens, that's going to happen for sure. And do you think that's a good thing? You're all about, what's your theory about how clean the edge of the board
is? The edge
be?
Of the board, I think Ronnie as well is trying to clean up the outside of the playing area. It can get a little cluttered right now, and I think a nice, orderly, put everything, a place for everything and everything in its place.
Yes, you what was it? You wanted a pen next to your little notepad, next to your dice?
Yeah, like just, there's only so much things you need there. A pen perpendicular to your notepad with a tray for your dice, and then some counters. Like, you don't need an entire...
I do like, the reason I like stat cards is to, instead of putting activation tokens on the board, which I hate clutter, I'm the opposite, I hate cluttering the board. I hate things being on the board. So it's nice to be able to either tap a guy or put the token on, like, we have sheets. There's one of the army builders makes, like, a sheet, almost like stat cards on a sheet when you print it.
Yes.
Which I really like, because you just put, like, tokens or wounds on the sheets on each of the characters, and I really like that one.
The stat cards, I thought were, we use them. It's a tracking device.
Just literally to see who's activated. And to put wounds on.
So much so that we created additional stat cards so that we could keep track of
dogs,
multiple types of the same model. We use them, but it's...
But even then, like, it's getting to the point where it is cluttering up the board. I really much rather have that sheet with that you can just put... Even if you did stat lines which had enough room to put tokens on them. So they're, like, maybe a couple inches wide. You know, like a stat line with a couple inches. Which they'd probably end up being if they want all the information on them.
But again, it's a foregone conclusion. Ronnie himself looked us in our eyeballs and said they were on the outs. So
yeah. And that's when people say, oh, the cards are leaving Dead Zone. That's the cards he means. The other cards, we're not sure.
Even if we were to gnash our teeth and shake our fists impotently at the air and why and tear our clothes, they're gone. So it's not going
to
make any difference.
But there's also, you go to any of, like, either the Facebook groups, the containment protocols, or the board game geek groups, people are making their own cards for units that aren't in the game yet. Like, I know our friend Jeff Burbage there, he was making cards for Dreadball. So there's always going to be a secondary way to get cards if you really want the cards.
Yes.
And the next set of cards would be the mission cards. And obviously they're useful for learning the game and for beginning games. Do you think that they're useful going forward? Do you think mission cards should be continued other than in the base? Once again, the base game will come with mission cards because they're already in there.
Yes. And me personally, I think there is a place for them. I think they're a nice step between when you get the game, don't use them. Don't use some don't use the mercenaries. Small army, we're here, fight. Small army, fight. Just clash, 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 clash.
Just to learn, yeah.
Then when you've got the basics down, when that becomes, okay, we know what we're doing. The mission cards do an excellent job of shaking things up. Break you out of the mold that you got into when you started. Make you change up how you were thinking. Make you change strategies and give you objectives and add a level of fun. I like them, and I hope they stay with the base game.
And I will disagree 100%.
Oh.
We're starting off good here. Because what you like about it, they do already with scenarios. And the scenarios could be more in-depth and be a lot more interesting and add more than a simple card that a lot of times seems impossible to do.
Okay, so two people just pick two random cards out of a deck of 30. How many scenarios can you put in a book that would add a book, even 20 cards each? How much playability
can you get? But how many games are you playing?
As much as I can. I love the game.
But I mean, like,
do you that's not like playing the game? Is that what you're saying?
What the key is, they should just release a lot more scenarios. Just like every week, throw another scenario. You know? Just keep pumping out scenarios. Every Iron Watch magazine should have a scenario in it.
Speaking of which, how would we go about contributing to Iron Watch magazine? Put our own scenarios in.
Yes. That's true. We should be doing it. We're the problem.
We're part of the problem.
Because, they need more content. That's exactly a content they should have. A Dead Zone scenario should be a section in the Iron Watch magazine. Maybe we'll have to start doing that. What a good idea. Right on the air.
Dead Zone
Please the steal it for us so we don't have to do the work. But and someone should start doing this.
And call it Dead Zone the scenario.
There you go. We did do Dead Zone the article for a while, so
yeah,
it only makes sense.
Okay, so you disagree.
I like scenarios better, and I find the whole... Maybe it's just the cards that are available now. I don't like the VPs. I don't like VPs in general, victory points. It kind of reduces the game to point mongering, right? You're just trying to get enough points to win instead of playing it out how it should be played.
I like
the idea of scour missions, and like I like the idea of those missions. I just don't like the VPs of how to win them, because half of them, like especially the scour ones and stuff, it's hard to win.
Sometimes the combinations don't work out with
your... Or capture and control.
Your faction, the cards that you've picked, both sides, there is some randomness that can lead to some difficult situations.
Maybe that's what spoiled me, is that I just don't like the cards available. If they improve the cards, maybe that'd be better.
And we lingered on the cards for a long time. We've not even done the campaign, and we've been playing this game for a long time. Again, that's on us.
We're always trying different things, so a campaign wouldn't work when you're trying different things.
We're still using the crutch after the legs healed, and it's a little bit painful.
Oh.
But, so, I'm just saying, with the original box set that you get, it's that extra playability right there in the box you've done.
I'm not saying get rid of the main box.
The scenarios are another step above. Now you can... This is what a tournament would be like. This is what... Get a more organized situation. But I would
not... So you think there's a place for both? I
would not want to see the cards disappear.
But it's another card you can be able to get rid of from the side of your board.
Well, it's one card
for each side. Every other card is just like a little deck. That just counts as one card in the space-wise. It's just a deck. Sure, it's a little higher than a card. Stat cards not, because you have to put stat cards for us. So that brings us to battle cards. So, I personally like battle cards. We've gone on record that I like the cards. I just don't think they do enough different things. But, like, you need a free short action card. I think that's important. But, what about battle cards? Do you like battle cards?
Get rid of them.
Yeah, see, I thought you'd be getting rid of battle cards. I like battle cards, like, more than command, obviously. And it adds a little flavor to it. And maybe they could just improve it by making it, like, a deck-building kind of thing instead. Like, you know, like a deck-building...
Oh.
So it's not like just you're randomly drawing cards and you have seven cards, but you keep drawing cards but you don't get to use it right away. You're putting it so it's in your chamber, kind of. And then when you reshuffle, you might get those cards. Like, like deck building. Like we played Legendary.
Right, where you could stack a deck to match your playing style.
Mm-hmm.
If you really...
So yeah, you draw three cards, say, and put them face up so you can see them. and then you choose the card you want, and then you put it in the bottom of your deck, and you have to reshuffle every time.
Again, sounds fun.
Yeah.
We'll try it one day.
Once again, it's the card's variety is not great. I find you get a lot of cards in your hand that you can't use, and you're just like, why do I have this?
But it's a lot of outside of the board fingering and moving and organizing and stuff. I'm going to stick with your leader's on the board. His sergeants are with him. If they can't, through the gameplay, if you can't, say, with a, like my theory, a short action of your leader should be to tell one of your models they can do a short action. That's done. I elaborated a little bit saying that the if they're farther away, there should be a roll. But again, there's plenty of wiggle room in my theory.
Yeah, you like your...
And the other was that a strategist would get to be able to do that twice, and the tactician would be able to do it once. And that way you would be able to do three additional movements throughout each turn. If you had two of those guys, if you wanted to go without a leader, then that's your fault. And it just seems so easy, so streamlined, and so on the
might
board.
Might be too powerful, that's my only.
You're on the board, you're playing, you're paying attention to the pieces, and you're not outside shuffling and moving and stuff. I would get rid of those cards.
I like the cards, but I also think they would simplify the game a lot to take the cards out. All of a sudden, you wouldn't have to think about what's in your hand. You wouldn't, I forgot to do this.
Yes.
It would, there'd be a lot less surprises in the game with your characters. You'd be like, how many times you fight and all of a sudden, oh, I got this. You get screwed. You know, like all of a sudden, oh, we got plus one to shoot. Or, you know, there's a lot of things like that which would take it out of the game.
Extra moves, get mean.
Yeah, extra moves especially. So you're like, oh, he's three away. He can't get to me.
Because there would be a lot of extra moves given by the leadership.
That's the thing, yeah. That would, if you got the change of leadership, get rid of the cards and change your leadership. But.
I will concede that if they overhauled the card system, I could see it being better. I'm just spitballing here, but what if you chose 20 cards, your opponent chose 20 cards, shuffled into the same deck?
I was thinking that too. You're sharing the deck, yeah.
That way you're getting the cards that he thinks he really needs.
Or even deck building, and then add my deck building thing where you're both drawing, so whoever gets an issue gets to draw the first card. Oh, I wanted that card, now you gotta, you know?
Something like that. I can concede in the future if someone really wanted to get, if their pants were so tight for having those cards there that they just had to, like, retool it to make it, give it a little pizzazz.
Yeah, there's gotta be something added to them.
But then you would have to take away the fact that the leadership on the board also gives commands.
Yeah, it's one or the other. I don't think
it's gotta
be one
or the other.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Did we just find a middle ground on something too?
Well, not really, because we both want the two different things, but.
But we
do agree that there should be one or the other, not both.
And we just conceded that there's a way to make it.
Both
ways. We both saw that both ways could be.
Well, I can see going either way. Like, it doesn't matter to me that much. Just simplify it.
Two episodes ago, you were sharpening a toothbrush and you were going to shank me in the shower.
I don't think it was ever that violent.
Oh, well, then I will put my soap-filled sock away and pretend that never happened.
I think someone wanted me to see him in the shower.
I watched Orange is the New Black, so I apologize.
I don't watch that show. Well, on that note, we'll take an ad. Take an ad. Take a break.
And leave an ad.
Yes. Enjoy this ad we have left you.
It is time for a brief message from our friends at Warmore Radio.
This is the Strike Zone.
Yo, yo, Dreadball fans. The Strike Zone podcast is all about entertaining, educating, and informing you about everything Dreadball. We record twice a month, are an hour long, and are child-friendly. You can look us up on iTunes with the keywords Dreadball and Strike Zone, or on our main website, www.warmoreradio.com.
Enter the Strike Zone.
Welcome back to the Dead Zone podcast. It is shout-outs time.
And we're back.
That ad was hilarious. I feel strongly about that ad.
I support everything in that ad.
At no point was I like, meh.
No, I wasn't either.
Highly entertained.
So, we got some shout-outs. They're back. We took a showed out off last time.
Well, there was a bit of a drought, was there?
Yeah, we've been droughted. People are too busy. They're too busy for us, Jack.
It's the summertime. I just, everyone's outside.
And this showed out actually isn't someone who actually knows who we are.
So. Oh, dear God.
But it's a showed out to something that everybody should check out. It's called, it's from the latest Iron Watch magazine. And it was space combat rules that that Mike Tittensor came up with. It's called Dead Zone Quarantine. And it's an interesting rule set that gives you space combat. They wanted to, in their local thing, their old local games group, they wanted to have something in between where before you landed on the planet, they want to have some combat getting in. And they created these rules. And it's a neat little rule set. So you should check out this Iron Watch magazine. They have a link to the rules with the link up in our show notes too. And if you want to check out space combat for Dead Zone, something that we asked about before, but they keep pushing off because they don't see that as a focus. Even though I think they should have struck when the iron was hot when things like Drop Zone Commander, and now that's kind of gotten saturated because now there's the Halo has got its own space combat game coming out, and there's another one, Planetfall, I think it's called. So there's quite a few space combat games, but if they had just gotten onto it right away.
I think as long as they address with the games that they have now, address the moments between a dropship coming into range, a dropship dropping off troops, and a dropship taking off, and the damage you could do to the ship, the abilities.
This is also getting through the quarantine, too, with the enforcers. So I think they have boarding actions in the rules and stuff.
But I'm just talking like in our existing games. Oh, in Dead Zone themselves. In Dead Zone,
you should be able to like shoot at the plane as it's coming down.
Yeah, something like that.
I think that's Warpath's going to have that kind of stuff.
Address that now so that when Warpath comes out, because when Warpath comes out, there's going to be vehicles. There's going to be things like that. I think people are clamoring for more than what we're getting right
especially
now.
Especially in the world, yeah.
And with Warpath just on the horizon, people's ideas, they got their brains are just chocked full.
Yeah, people are excited. So, so that's a shout-out for them. And please, go check out Iron Watch Magazine, because they have a lot of things like this in there. So thank you, Mike, and we hope to try out your space combat if we can ever figure out to get some models. We need some space minis. Do you have any space minis kicking around your house?
No.
Maybe we could use bottle caps. You make bottle caps. As he drinks.
Now for a segment we call Our Stuff.
So on to Our Stuff. Our Stuff. Jack, have you, anything happening in your world with Our Stuff?
Not this week. No. No, I am tapped.
You, last month, or last episode, you fixed the Crystallin and that was it?
Yeah. I did want to paint my Z's. But I've had to work a considerable amount of overtime, and I know what I'm going to do, and I know that it's going to take a little. They're much smaller than I.
Yeah, they're teeny.
They're tiny.
I painted a couple Z's, and they're really teeny. You're kind of like just impressionistic painting on those things.
Yeah, we're going to get all Monet on this one.
Yeah, because they're so small.
So
they're like pretty much 15 millimeter model. Maybe even smaller. It's like painting Flames of War for.
But I had every intention of having them painted for this episode, and I unfortunately have been unable to.
Oh well, you'll get to it eventually.
Yes.
I, on the other hand, finished off my Dead Zone or Dreadball, sorry, Dreadball Extreme. Finished her off.
Look at that guy.
This guy is the Dead Man. I made him red because he looked like he had raw skin. And I did some nice shading on his redness.
Did he get flayed alive?
Yes, I tried to make him look like he was flayed alive. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I also, since he was like he used to be like the All-American, I tried to make him red, white, and blue. The red was his skin.
Ew.
And there's his back. You know, his backy glory. And I also did the injured craw with his broken wings. And the Yindish guy.
Yindish with, he's looking pretty Dr. Zaius there.
Dr. Zaius?
Yes.
And I also did these guys, the like big brain spider guys. I did them in purples and reds, because I thought they were purple.
Purple and veiny and throbbing and...
Pretty much, yeah.
Engorged.
Their heads are definitely engorged. And I did my whole...
Holy look at how much you painted.
And I did my whole, this is my convicts. My convict team. And I also, since I had extra of those yindiges. Yindiges? Yindish?
Yinjai?
No ideas. Yindish, I modified them up to make them into sergeants for Dead Zone. So I gave this guy, he kept his claws, but gave him a weapon, and this guy gave a shield and some kind of grenade launcher.
I'm a fan of the Yindish. I would field a full rebel team of Yindish if I had the chance.
Oh yeah, for sure. So these are extra sergeants, maybe even to be used with Warpath. So there you go. That's what I did.
You did a considerable amount.
Yeah, I had a lot of time to, I did on the containment protocols, every month they do a painting pledge, and my convicts were my painting pledge for last month, so got them done.
So you have a big network, a support group, people urging you to get your stuff done? And...
Well, if you're non-compliant, they make fun of you.
Oh.
You must pledge.
Mocking and ridiculing is a key factor.
Yeah, legitimate factor in this, yep. So that's what you did. And we'll have a little break here. Speaking of Iron Watch magazine, we'll have an Iron Watch break. And please do contribute.
It is time for a brief message from our friends at Iron Watch magazine.
Do you like Mantic games? Do you want to read about your favorite games in a monthly magazine? Have we got the offer for you? Iron Watch magazine. Iron Watch brings you the latest news, articles, and short stories taking place in the Mantic universe. Dreadball, Kings of War, Dead Zone, Warpath. You want it? They got it. Ironwatch.wordpress.com. Get it now for the low, low price of free. You can't beat that at twice the price. That's Ironwatch.wordpress.com.
Download now.
We now return to the Dead Zone podcast. And now, a review from your hosts at the Dead Zone podcast.
And welcome back to the Dead Zone podcast. We're going to try a little something new, a little review. We've done a lot lately.
Yes. And this review is for something very cool. And it's by a company called Mats by Mars. And it's matsbymars.com. And they are in the United States. And they just started new mats. They're vinyl mats. And they have new Dead Zone mats with 3-inch squares on them. And it's made of vinyl. And you can even use dry erase on them. So it's kind of cool. You can put dry eraser on them. If you have to make notes next to your guy, just write it on there and wipe it off. Or if they're injured, you can even put like a little thing next to them on there.
Some blood splatter.
Yeah. Get some red dry erase. And they have all different sizes. And right now they have 2x2, 3x3, 4x4. And you can get any of them with the Dead Zone cubes on them.
And that is what makes the difference between the other mat that you got years ago and...
They don't have the cubes.
That's what I'm saying. And this right there, you can see it's got the lines right on it.
Yeah.
Now, we took a look at it. The 4x4, it looked like a... it had some cobblestone.
Yeah, they call it the abandoned city, this one.
It's got
like lichen and stuff growing on it or something.
It looks like if you were playing, say, a role-playing game that you used miniatures for, or if you were playing it looks like it's got that aesthetic, but it will look dynamite with the Dead Zone
stuff.
It'll look
like an overgrown kind of
place. It's going to look like because the original mat that Dead Zone released is a gray, sterile, yeah, industrial looking, which is fine. It works good with certain sceneries, but when you want to mix it up, I think the stuff that we did that looks like it's been...
This will look good on this destroyed mat, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think it's going to look really nice.
And this is, like I say, 4x4 mat, so it's the equivalent of 4 Dead Zone mats put together.
To expand the game, to open it up a bit, to, again, like we were talking about earlier during the rules discussion, to go from the basics and just expand the game a bit. We haven't used it yet, but...
But, yeah. And it's only $51, too, so the equivalent in the of course, the Dead Zone ones are that the mouse material, this is just vinyl, but it's sturdy and it's nice backed vinyl. But the other one would be $100 for the same size, so because you'd have to buy 4 mats, and they don't make them together like this. This is one big mat, so it's cool.
And the thing is, you whip that out on the table, and it just laid flat.
Yeah.
It didn't, because it comes
rolled
up.
Yep.
And I at first, I didn't know what it was, because the white lines are subtle. They're there, but it's
They are very subtle, which I like, too.
And I, oh, look at that. And that's when I was like, oh, we gotta play.
Yeah.
A, and B, I'm going to base some models with a little more overgrown...
Yeah, because you've been basing them just to fit on the other ones. So.
All mine have a white to gray base that don't match exactly, but kind of blend in.
And they do have a mats by Mars. They have a bunch of different designs. We also got some 2x2 mats. We got a Winter's Wrath mat, and it's a snowy plane. I thought it'd be fun to do some buildings with some snow on it to fit on this, too. Because we never get to, like, do weather effects, kind of.
When's the next time we're getting some terrain that we can do that?
Infestation is definitely next. That's in January, but you never know what happens with... Well, we just got those buildings a couple of weeks or episodes ago from that other company.
That's true.
Put together and maybe do some winter on them. That'd be kind of cool.
That's true. Or winter basing some Dead Zone models when they come.
Yep. And there's also... We got a Swampland. The Swampland, the lines are really, really, really... like, you could barely see them.
Faint,
but,
yeah.
But you don't, as long as you're looking at the board, as long as you can see them, that's all that matters. It's better to be faint, I think.
I agree. It's a nice reference to have on the board, but it doesn't need to dominate the board. All the extra, and it's just a two-dimensional printed thing, but it does add an interesting element, to me, anyways.
Yeah, for sure. It's just cool. And you can maybe, for the Swamp one, maybe make some rules about water effects and who can go in water. Or
movement minus one.
Yeah, you have to make terrain rules for it. Terrain or like rules. Travel rules. Yeah. And the last one we got was a, it's called The Desert. And it's just cracked earth and it looks very cool too.
As far as I'm concerned, that was the nicest looking of the ones that we have here physically. That I was
the cracked earth you liked the best?
Yes. It looked like cracked earth. The other ones had like a hyper-realistic...
One looks real.
It just looks like cracked earth. Yeah. It's just...
Looks like you're looking onto cracked earth, for sure. And the lines are a little bit... Since the color, you can see the lines a lot more. And they do the color... On the other boards, they do them in white, which is cool. And this one, they do them in black, because they'll show up better. And they have a lot of different designs. This is not even all of them. And they are also looking for anybody to suggest other designs. So if you have an idea, write to us, and or put it in our comments, or on the YouTube comments, or on Twitter. Let us know what other mats you want from Mats by Mars, and if they get enough people liking them, they'll make some more different designs. They want to
expand.
Yeah.
Get into the Dead Zone market.
Get the range going, because people are clamoring for different mats, I think. Like, we were. The new Infestation only had one different one, which was kind of like a Mars-like, reddish kind of planet.
Well, we've gotten Ghetto before, and we came with the mousepad mat, and the paper mat that came
put
with
together,
the original, and it works, but it's not the same as having a nice big spread. And really, our armies are getting bigger. We're working our way up to Warpath. Yeah. But as Dead Zone goes, a 4x4 now I think is the perfect thing for us.
Yeah, 4x4 is perfect.
It comes at the right time for us to play.
Yeah.
I know we haven't even done the campaigns yet. We should.
Yes, eventually. Or even zombie rules we haven't done much of.
But just a good knockdown drag out on a big mat like that.
We do like...
100-point army on a big mat like that.
That'd be fun. Get some striders going. Yeah. And bigger mats are bigger fun. And so please do, contact us. Tell them what you want to see on their mats. Like, I don't know, Space Station or what else we get? Got an idea?
City Streets.
Just more City Streets. Factory, maybe just like almost like diamond plating, because it'll match the Infestation a bit more. Like just all diamond plate.
Shallow water.
Yeah, some water. Like
lava. Lava.
Lava with islands.
The black rock with the...
And
with
you have to like jump over the lava to go different places.
Red and yellowy, glowy things. We're taking that. We're going
to... So any of these. So we'll send any suggestion you got to Mats by Mars. Or you can contact them directly.
Except for lava. Don't tell them. That's our idea.
But as long as they make it, I don't care.
Oh.
Oh, the smaller mats. We forgot to mention. The smaller mats are $21. So it's still cheaper than the Dead Zone ones, too. So
And
you get the variety.
If you do contact Mats by Mars and you're ordering or you've got...
Tell them we sent you.
Yeah, just let them know, though. Because this is pretty... But, I think... we're not the only ones that needed something a little different.
Variety, Matt's variety for sure.
Yeah, and as a rating goes,
Well, these are 5 out of 5 for sure. I think they look awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just the variety. Like you say, you're so excited to play again almost because you want to play in these different mats.
I'm a little critical. I'm more critical than you are.
Yes.
And I'm not wooed by the same things that you are.
Not usually. I'm wooed by shiny things.
And I've never given a perfect review. I'm going to give 5. I'm excited to play on that mat. Out of 5.
That's a good review.
That is a good review.
So, yeah, please contact us. Let us know.
You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. We will now take a brief pause for an important message.
Countercharge. Countercharge is the first podcast totally dedicated to the game Kings of War. Join your hosts Andrew, Mark, and Rob as they delve into the world of Mantica and bring you in-depth coverage of all things Kings of War. You can find us on iTunes and at OhioHammer.com, a proud member of the Ohio Hammer Network of Podcasts.
Hey, this is Jack from the Dead Zone Podcast, and you've been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast.
With Jack from the Dead Zone Podcast.
So much Dead Zone Podcast, it'll make you vomit.
We'll move on to our Warpath discussion. More Warpath discussion.
Warpath discussion. The first episode we did movement, and that was a rousing success. We were 100% correct in everything we said, and there's no doubt about that. And even listening to that again, we'll just reveal our genius. Last time we
hopefully were a bit more accurate.
We were a bit more accurate, and also we had discussed the combat.
Combat, yeah.
Shooting and the melee and some of the small things to deal with that. And now we're going to expand from the basics of the combat to things to do
other
with
things.
The combat.
Yep. And we're going to... there's some other actions, and then there's... Go into suppression, and then we'll talk about terrain.
And special rules after that.
And some special rules. We'll skim over the all the different special rules they got.
Yeah, we're not going to just read you the rule book. It's not. Yeah. This isn't trying to put you to sleep. But we're just...
we want to give you a taste of what Warpath is about.
Dipping our toe in.
So for other actions, we've talked about the regroup action earlier. And once again, there's short action and long actions in Warpath, just like Dead Zone. Regroup's a short action, and it lets you remove one suppression token from your unit, which is pretty cool, because that's how you start kind of healing yourself a bit, because too many suppressions get bad. And we'll talk about suppression in a little second. And entering and leaving terrain is a long action, we talked about that. You can double move as a long action, just like Sprint. There's a Rally, which is a long action. So it's like regroup, but as a long action, you remove D6 plus 1 suppression tokens.
So you've doubled the amount of time you've taken to do it, so the results are better than the regroup.
And it also gives you, with the Rally, it also gives you a move action. So you rally and you can move, but as long as it's not engaging another enemy. So you kind of, like, get together, you can move your certain amount of inches. And
move to some cover if that was the problem, or...
So that's just a few extra things you can do in the game. Now we'll move on to suppression, which is the major thing in this game. And so, as we talked about before, you get suppression tokens as you get shot up or stabbed up. And a unit can become suppressed if it has more suppression tokens than it does have teams remaining in the unit, which that's kind of interesting. And once you get suppressed, you only move at half speed, and you have a -1 penalty to shoot and assault. So you definitely don't want to be suppressed. It's kind of interesting that I like the way they do it, because it doesn't matter how big your unit is, it's if you have more suppression than your teams. So if you have 3 suppressions on your unit, and you only have 2 teams left, those guys are scared, and they want to stay down.
And your teams are decided by your people and how it's organized, and it kind of it makes sure that, well, it actually forces you, not forces you, it kind of leads you to suppress one group at a time, concentrate fire to
one unit to
one
try
unit,
to keep them up.
Get all of those suppression tokens on them, then possibly charge in and take care of business once they're... But it's a strategy that it'll take some playing to really get the feel for...
It almost... Like, Dead Zone Blaze Away is important because you can pin people. This is the same idea. This is just in bigger form. And you do remove suppression 1 per turn, so you do recover slowly if you're not getting more put onto you. But if you have triple the number of suppression tokens as your unit, you get grounded. So it's like being pinned in Dead Zone. Which makes sense. It's the same kind of structure. They just named it slightly different.
And the naming of it different, I would
almost wish they kept it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because these are different scaled, same game.
Yeah, mechanic. Same world, same units.
I can understand the dice didn't work for whatever reason. Yeah.
Well, plus, you need like 30, you're not going to get 30 D8s. It's hard to get that many D8s. D6s are a dime a dozen.
Yeah, so like I said, I understand why the dice are different and why some of the stuff, but I like the one world concept.
Yeah.
And I like that.
They should have kept the naming convention, even though we don't even call them by the correct names.
No, we don't either.
Suppressed is one. What's the last one? It's not pinned. It's something else, isn't it? Is it pinned?
You call it Case of the Vapors.
I do. Look at the vapors.
Yeah, so, we just say move instead of sprint.
Yeah, we never use the correct terms.
It's really not, I've never said get mean. I'm going to get mean.
No, I'm
standing up.
I'm standing up. Yeah, we always say standing up. I'm removing the X because there's always an X.
I've gotten enraged. I've said
enraged
that.
Is one word we use actually.
But for the most part, we're basically Philistines and we don't.
We make up our own words. So another thing that's neat is that a unit inside terrain can never be grounded. It means you feel pretty safe inside of a building. You're not trying to duck down. You're not laying on the floor inside the building. You just keep,
you've got enough cover.
You've got enough cover. And grounded units can't make any action during their activation except for rally. They may not be placed on Overwatch. They may not make charge reactions, so they can't be reacted. They may not retaliate in assault. That's when you're grounded, you can get stabbed to death. Like, that's the way you die in assault. And they may not issue orders, which is the command structure. So being grounded is pretty bad. That means you're pretty much just laying on the ground or hiding behind a wall. And as for more about recovery, for grounded units, they must try to rally. And you have to roll one die for each team in the unit and compare their roll to your first breakpoint. And for every roll equal to or greater than the breakpoint, one team is removed. So when you're grounded, guys start just either abandoning their unit or quitting fighting. They don't want to fight anymore. So being grounded is very bad. And now we'll move on to terrain. There's a few different types of terrain. We've mentioned the terrain types before, but there's pretty much just like three different types here. There's impassable terrain, which just means you can't go through it, you can't be in it. Next terrain is decorative terrain, which is small terrain pieces that do not have a defined area and it has no effect on the game. So you can make, trees and stuff and make it look pretty, but it doesn't really affect anything. And you can move or attack without penalty, and they can still block line of sight, obviously, because the tree will stop. Give you partial cover or something if there's a bunch of them. And all the terrain's given heights to help with line of sight, so you can do that. And then the last thing is there's defensible terrain, which is either things like buildings and something you want to defend, maybe a wall you can defend. And it's it's anything for large and sturdy enough to take troops to take cover in. It's impassable to tanks, which obviously there's going to be tanks in this game. And you have to get in or out, you have to use a special ability to enter or leave terrain. It's like it's an action to move or enter or exit terrain. And you have to have, your whole unit has to be all the way in. It can't be half in, half out. And they say it's best to put just one single model in the terrain to represent all your guys being in it, because you don't want to just have to pile all of your guys into the terrain. So you just put your, hub unit in there and take all your other guys off there and say, no, they're all in there, And you can, obviously, it helps with rolls if you're inside tough places. Like we discussed earlier with the charging, you get extra things if you're in fortified or defensible terrain. And fortified terrain is something that's it's extra protection. It's got armor or something. It's meant to be like a bunker is a fortified terrain. And it gives you, once again, if you get charged, you get to shoot at people through that.
Because a abandoned house doesn't have the same ability to
weather coming at you. Yeah.
Then say a pillbox or something. Yeah. There's
sure, guys can still get into a pillbox, but it's going to take a little bit longer. It gives the guys time to shoot at you. You have to probably climb in the window so they can shoot at you while you're climbing in, And that's pretty much it for terrain. I'm sure the terrain rules will get expanded with the official release. This is just the alpha, as we were saying. And on to some special rules. They have a bunch of different neat things. There's things like anti-grav, and it lets you it gives you anti-gravity. Obviously, I bet enforcers will have this as their jetpacks. And it lets you move over terrain without being slowed down by things. There's anti-tank weapons. And there's Blast, which is very similar to the one in Dead Zone. And things like experimental, which is kind of interesting, kind of like Dead Zone 2.
Same Dead Zone.
Yeah, it could give you suppression tokens if something bad happens. There's a lot of different stuff, like Fire in the Hole. You can, it's a special ability. You can, no charge reaction can be made against the target units, because they're, I think you kind of throw in smoke grenades before you charge, so they can't see you to react. It's kind of neat. It's an ability that either a weapon will have or a group will have. And it's just, there's things like orbital commanders, which you can send in, you can send down shots from space. Like, it's pretty neat. And this is just the alpha. Like I say, you can get many more different things.
Yeah, those are the first little toys in the toy box they're letting you play with. But that list will expand, most likely as parts of scenarios, but also probably as different units are created, and they're kind of going to have to keep expanding to mix things up. But that's a nice start.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot more, too. There's, you know, it's just like Dead Zone, where there's a lot of, not so much abilities. It seems like they're learning from Dead Zone. It's not, there's nothing like plus one shoot, or it's all the things like, you know, more complex things that they have to explain as a ability.
Again, it's only an alpha. It's only, this isn't the official rule book. This is just what they're giving you to play with now. Appreciate it.
Yep, for sure. And, yeah, we'll go on to vehicles, and then there's command actions. There's still a little bit more to talk about the Warpath as we go forward. But I think that's another episode in the can.
Another episode of the Dead Zone Podcast, all wrapped up and made purdy by our sweet dulcet tones.
Yep, we try. This one might have been a little shorter than usual, but we try to get them around an hour. We do hope you enjoyed this one, and until next time, keep playing some Dead Zone.
I'm Jack.
And I'm Rob. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. I have been your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen. Visit the website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. Email your hosts at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow the show at Dead Zone Podcast. The Dead Zone Podcast is a production of Vinland Old Time Radio Productions. You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. And now, a word from the fine folks at Vinland Old Time Radio.
Jack! Is that you, the ghost of Christmas past?
No, I'm the ghost of podcast future.
I'm intrigued. Do tell me more.
The future of podcasts is Vinland Old Time Radio. I know it sounds oxymoronic, but it's not.
Where can I find this podcast?
VinlandOldTimeRadio.podbean.com.
And how many doubloons will that cost me?
It's free, unlike my soul. Bye.
You boy, what day is it today?
It's Canada Day, it seems.
Well, go buy that biggest Christmas goose in the window.
That makes no sense. I'm just taking your money and leaving.
VinlandOldTimeRadio.podbean.com.